Turn, if you would, to John chapter 20. So, you know, we talked about the corrupting influence of Islam. We talked about how it corrupts education, marriage, and then children, which is horrible. But, you know, this one, this last point is by far the worst. It's even worse than the children one. But it's the fact that Islam corrupts souls. It sends people to hell, you know. Millions and billions of people are going to hell as a result of Islam. And in Sierra Leone, it's not just the Muslims, but it's also the Muslim influence that's reaching the Christians as well. You know, in Sierra Leone is one of the most religiously tolerant countries in the world. So Islam and Christianity get along very, very well. And there's a big mixing of religions. You know, just a few weeks ago, our pastor preached about this, and he talked about religious syncretism, right? And me and Daniel got to see that firsthand. Right after he preached it, we got to go there, and we got to see the mixing of Christianity and Islam there. And we heard a lot of, you know, statements that people made on both sides, Muslims and Christians. Like, we heard, you know, we all worship the same God, therefore we're all going to heaven. You know, and that's pretty common. We hear that here in America as well. But we heard a lot of Muslims say, you know, I believe in Jesus. You must believe in Jesus to go to heaven. And just things like this I've never heard Muslims say before. But the reason is because they're trying to mix the two religions. And of course, whenever they say believe in Jesus, they don't mean it the same way that we mean it. Right. You know, they mean that they believe that he's a, you know, a good prophet. And ultimately, they're still trusting in their good works and everything like that. So they don't mean the same thing that we mean. But it's just this mixing of religions. And, you know, it's due to this influence that's coming in, this Islamic influence. Because we also ran into a lot of Christians who did not believe in the Trinity because, once again, they're trying to mix the two. You know, they didn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or that Jesus is God. And they called themselves Christians. But and I even heard one Muslim say that the only thing you had to do is believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. But, of course, that's I question him more, and that's not what he meant, of course. But, and, you know, a lot of Muslims in Sierra Leone are hardened to the gospel, unfortunately. You know, I wish it wasn't so, but out of the 40 salvations that we got, none of them were Muslims. All of them were the fake Christians and things like that. And in fact, a lot of the time, a few times anyway, we were there and a Muslim would come up and basically, you know, we're preaching the gospel. A Muslim would walk up and derail the conversation. You know, show me where the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God or whatever. And I want to give you an example of this. I want to give you a story about this. So we were preaching at Halbert Academy, so that was the big audience of several hundred students that we got to preach to. And then afterward, we had many students come up and ask us questions afterward. We were able to get two students saved after that, so praise the Lord for that. But there was this one guy that I was preaching to, and he was very smart. He was very knowledgeable about the Bible. And I was thinking I was going to get this person saved. But then this Muslim kid, this Muslim teenager, just walked up and just basically got right into our conversation and said, hey, whenever you preached up there, I heard that you said that Jesus is God. Show me that in the Bible. And this kid was not going to leave us alone unless I showed him something. So I showed him, you know, 1 Timothy 3:16. That's my favorite verse about that. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. But he wouldn't let that go, though. He just kept wanting to disturb our conversation. So then I took him to John 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he still didn't like that. But this is the cool part right here. The guy that I was originally preaching to, the receptive kid who was about to get saved, he was really knowledgeable about the Bible. And he reached into his backpack and he pulled out a big King James Bible and he flipped it open to Isaiah chapter 9. And he showed the guy, he's like, see, look, right here. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So it says the Mighty God. And he showed him that, and then that other teenager, the Muslim kid, he got mad and he like stormed off. But right after that, the Isaiah 9 kid, unfortunately, he had to go. He had to go home. His parents were calling him and everything. But we got his phone number, and Albert's going to do some follow-up with him and hopefully get him saved. So, that's the last, you know, major corrupting influence I could think of about Islam, and that's the most damaging as well, is that the fact that it's sending so many millions of people to hell.